Hi, this is Paul Jindrasiak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and we're joined in the studio today with Rick Bierhorst. Rick Bierhorst is a local painter and musician, and thanks for joining us today, Rick.
I'm glad to be here, Paul.
So what came first? Did you pick up a paintbrush first or a guitar first?
I think I started drawing first.
Really. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't pick up a guitar until I was a teenager, but I've been drawing since I was just little.
And what attracted you to drawing? How old were you when you started?
I was about 5 years old, and I remember the first thing I started drawing were the cats. We had cats in our house.
Okay.
And, you know, they fall asleep on the couch. And I remember doing a drawing of this cat with a ballpoint pen, and then later in the day, it ended up somewhere taped in the kitchen, and there was this kind of, hey, look at this, you know, hey, what, you know, there was this, I kind of had the sense of, I just did something that got their attention.
Sure.
You know,
and you wanted to do more.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm still trying to get attention.
Well, aren't we all? So when did painting come about for you?
Well, I started painting when I was in high school, and the same sort of thing, you know, I wasn't really that good at sports. I dabbled in it, but I wasn't that good at it. And when I started painting, again, I kind of started finding my place, and then ended up going to Calvin College out of high school, and then dove into the art department and just really, like, you know, I mean, it was just intoxicating.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember the first time I became aware of your art, you had a house concert at your home.
Oh, right.
Yourself and Ralston Bowles performed.
Yep, right.
And really enjoyed the photo that you had on the wall. It was an art prize last year. I'm drawing a blank on the
name. Right.
It
was called the Double Rose Project.
Yeah. I just was really attracted to that. Just loved the feel of the piece.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Now, since we're on the radio, how would you describe your art best for folks who are listening?
Well, I call it narrative figure painting.
Okay.
Narrative because there's a story that's implied, mm-hmm. but it's not clear. It's enigmatic.
Okay.
So when you look at the image, like that painting you're referring to, there's a woman. She has both eyes covered by two roses that aren't quite open, and she has an extra hand.
Right.
And people look at that, and they're trying to, like, why does she have an extra hand?
Well, it took me a moment. I knew that there was something there. And
well, it's not obvious at first.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Right. So you pull people into this puzzle, mm-hmm. which causes them to stop, and they're trying to figure it out. And then what happens is they start to kind of, there's something that starts to unravel,
right,
untangle.
Right. And I noticed that in a lot of your pieces, like when you say it pulls people in, it's like kind of almost pulling them into a different world, so to speak.
It is, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Now, you've been an art prize all 3 years.
Yes.
And the first year you did the Wonder Wagon.
Right.
And for folks who didn't have a chance to see that, what exactly was the Wonder Wagon?
Well, the Wonder Wagon still is a Wonder Wagon because
yeah,
it's in
absolutely.
Our driveway on Fuller Street.
I'll see that when I drive by.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, you mentioned the house concert that mm-hmm. you came to. We one of the things we do, since we don't work with a gallery in Grand Rapids, is we have shown work in our home, and we've invited collectors to our home. I'm always doing that into my studio, and we do house shows mm-hmm. Where we exhibit art. So since we had that as a real potent kind of thing that our family has been doing, we thought, well, how could we incorporate that into Art Prize? Because our house doesn't fall in the geographical delineated area for
right.
Art Prize. So we thought, why don't we create something mobile that mm-hmm. we could bring it in? And that ended up being a gypsy wagon, which we built on the frame or a chassis of an Amish buggy, which we dismantled and rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a sense, what we created was a mobile art gallery to bring our family's art to where it needed to go, kind of like the food truck we were talking about
right.
earlier.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then the second year you did Plan B, which
mm-hmm.
was Ford Museum on the banks of the Grand River.
Yeah.
For folks who might not have had a chance to visit there, tell
sure.
us about.
Yeah, that was resulted in our concerns about the diminished resources that were running through really quickly in Western culture. And just the idea was, what would happen if we ran out of oil? Or it didn't even run out, but it got too hard or too expensive.
Right.
And and electricity became intermittent, like it might, you know, like it is in some countries already. What would that look like in America? So what we did on the banks of the river was created kind of a tent city, post-peak oil, post-almost apocalyptic tent city, where we had bicycle-driven generators creating electricity. We had water, sand and gravel water filters, and we had, again, incorporated live music performances. We had tents made out of billboard vinyl. And what was really exciting about this project was it was right on the side of the river. And what occurred to us after the fact was is the city itself was birthed on the river.
Yeah.
So we were, in a sense, kind of rebirthing the city
on
the river, which right on that kind of, that in a sense, really sacred ground of where the Indian mounds originally were.